It's very, very important for us to understand how much ever you protect the body. It is very important to take care of the physical body. Suvarai vaithe sitharam ezhuda vendum. They always say you need a wall to draw, isn't it? You need something to draw on it. It means physical, without physical body, without having healthy, hale, strong, sound health or physical body, you can't achieve anything. One has physically strong, healthy, hale and healthy. You need healthy, no? One has to live long life. In fact, wanting to live a long life and praying for long life means healthy, long life is very important in Upanishads. Why? Because you want to make this life a meaningful one. You want to achieve really something in this. You want to make this human life a meaningful life, a successful life. That means you have to live a life, long life. Why should we die early? Understand? But Parabdha comes when we go, that's a different thing. Death is definite. We are going to study in Bhagavad Gita later on. Death is definite. Nobody is going to sit here, for long, long, many, 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 many years. Nobody is going to sit here. Maximum 100 years is the actual age of a human being. And nobody lives, okay? Very few people, they might have forgotten their ages, okay? They say, somebody is 101, 104, 130. One of the exceptions may be there. But really speaking, nobody lives a full span of human life, 100 years. 100 years. And even then, 70, 65, 35, 70, 85, 90, 92, 93, 94, like that, people die. And even in between that life, now how long we are very healthy. After 70, 60, you're not as strong as you were before. And after 70, you become much weaker. After 80, much weaker. And 90 means we have to be every day counting days. Any day if we get, like that, we don't know. That is, the life is, nobody is going to live for ever. This is the physical body. And before that, we have prarabdha. Okay? Prarabdha means what you go through mentally, physically. Mentally. Sometimes enjoying a physical health is Bhagavan's grace, isn't it? And even enjoying very good health also, one day, one headache, one slight headache, every day. Slight headache and some running nose and some cough and then some slight fever, some temperature. Small, small things will be there. A snow falls, hardly people will feel some sort of, some climatic change will bring about some problems in the body. Small things always come and then it's a small disorder and you bring back to order. Molagurasam, navi pepper varasam, and then you eat and then you get it all right. And then some more, some lots of problem, Always sometimes you take care of it. Just small disorders. That's all. Otherwise, what can you do? How much ever you go to go to gym and then do all the exercises, what can you do? Maybe maximum you can maintain a very good, nice figure. Figure and trim and nice, healthy body you can maintain. So what? You are going to live for 1,000 years or what? Very important, very, very important to maintain this body, because deha, deha, devalayaha. Physical body is a temple. Deha, devalayaha. Isn't it? Udambara kovil. So definitely we have to maintain this. Who said we will not maintain it? That is why it's not simple doing exercise and then all that. Some people take all vitamins, multivitamin tablets, because they don't eat proper food. And why? Because they don't put on weight. They don't want to eat rice and sambar and then ras, idli. They don't want to eat this ordinary food we are eating, rice and dal and chapatis. They take tablets, multivitamin tablets. Why? To be healthy. Why? Because we eat food, we'll put on weight. All funny ideas. A lot of people have their problems. Whatever you do, if you don't have any exercise, then you have to do some exercise. Whether you go to gym or you go for a walk. Now if you do a lot of work at home, those days we had a lot of work to do at home. Now if we do a lot of work, then don't need exercise. Because a lot of work at home, isn't it? And then cleaning and all those things, you can't do this. Men go for jogging or running or walking, whatever it is, upward exercise, and then go to gym or aerobics. Whatever you do, that's a different thing. But still the limitation is similarly, added to that, whether you do pranayama, Pranayama is a better discipline. It's not mere exercise, okay? A pranayama, a discipline. It is not only the body, it's also pranayama, also yogasana, also is what now. The eightfold limbs of Ashtanga Yoga. Pranayama and this yoga asana. Yoga asana, actually not yoga asana, asana. And your asanas are certain physical postures when practiced with the help of a proper teacher, then it helps you to maintain your body healthy and trim. At the same time, also discipline is sort of does good for mind also. And similarly, breathing exercise is pranayama. Isn't it? It helps you to maintain certain health also. But it's not going to make you live for thousands of years. It is good. I don't deny it's a great discipline because all Patanjali Maharishi's contribution, isn't it? But all these eightfold limbs, the exercises, we say, like Yama, Niyama, and then there, first he says Yama, Niyama, he talks about Yama, Niyama. Why? Because it is very important to follow. We are going to see here also. Yama and Niyama are very important because that implies one being highly ethical, living a life of values. First discipline, he talks about Yama and Niyama. Without being ethical, without living a life of dharma, understand now, universal values. I mean, say when I living a life of dharma means following universal values. Because they are valuable for me. I have to live my life in such a way that what I expect from others in terms of behavior. Isn't it? That is very important. That is Yama Niyama first. Without being ethical, how much your asanas you do and keep your body trim and nice. So what is the use? If some people, without living a life of universal values, without following values, you just practice asanas. Okay? And also the pranayama exercise. Because you want to live healthy. Without being ethical, if you simply practice pranayama and asanas, it becomes just the exercise added to your additional activity added to your routine activities. Isn't it? It's not a yoga. And following Yama and Niyama also, asana pranayama you are practicing, if the purusharatha nischaya is not there, if what is the purpose of living this life, it is not very clear. And the purpose of knowing this is very important to know one, for one to know the purpose of living this life. If fullness or happiness or limitlessness, they are synonyms. And happiness is my choiceless end. I have no choice. I want to be happy. And every mind wants to be happy. It's a common universe, human, universal, choiceless end. Common, human, universal, choiceless end is moksha. You will be very clear. And that moksha is not something to be attained because already there, what is it stopping me from knowing that happiness is my ignorance, isn't it? Therefore, I need to know. Therefore, knowing what happiness is, attaining what happiness is, therefore we say knowledge is moksha. Isn't that very clear? Then, knowing the value of knowledge, being committed to live a life of knowledge, committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Jnanatrikaha, isn't it? And for that sake, I have to be prepared for that jnanam. For that sake, I have to live a life of dharma. So, knowing the value of living a life of values in the context of accomplishing ultimate end of human life, then anything you do, any exercise you do becomes yoga. Otherwise, there is no yoga. If purusha, with purushartha nischayam illama, whatever you practice, that becomes what? Extracurricular activity. Extracurricular. Maybe others don't have. You are too smart to be involved in too many extracurricular activities. That's all. People don't have time for their own regular activities. And extracurricular means what? So extracurricular activities, what will you do? There is no punya. Understand now. Just add punya papam you have, that is all. There is no yoga, there is no jnanam, nothing. People have to realize this. Ella manam panbadanam. Whole life is lived to make your mind, uncultured mind, cultured. I'm not saying you're all totally rotten, raw-headed people. Okay? We are all cultured-minded, but mind has to be much more cultured. This Tamil, we have a nice word, panbadudal. I say panbadu. Now, what is culture, if you say? It is not culturing of the land, okay? Culture, if you say, the very word culture means that which makes the mind, okay, civilized. The uncivilized has to become civilized. Uncultured has to become cultured. We are relatively, comparatively more cultured. Understand? But it has to be totally cultured. Perfectly cultured. The perfectly cultured mind is the subtlest mind which can really, the mind which has the capacity to grasp the subtle facts. Sattvic mind, isn't it? So, manam, edu panbada cheyiradho adu panbadana. What is culture na? A culture is that when lived, followed, contributes for the emotional maturity. That is what is culture. That which contributes for culturing. That is why manam is always nalam. Manathika nalam, not valangadiyad. That is why we say it is, that is what is the whole life is for that. And there is no culturing, okay? There is no way of becoming civilized, being civilized. Where is civilization if we do not recognize, no, the value of values? If we don't commit ourselves to live a life of values. How civilized you are. The pants suit, dress how you wear, that does make one a civilized person, isn't it? People, in India, people used to think, no, civilized means you had to come, no, dressed like Westerner. Pants suit, shoes with a tie, you walk, highly civilized. You know, collector IAS, highly qualified, very difficult to get IAS degree, you know, and becoming a collector, then you start taking bribe underneath the table. Where is the civilization? Listen. So that is why this living a life of dharma, that shows how cultured the person is. Commitment to dharma and being able to live a life of dharma, the culture is there. Culture should reflect there. You commit living a clean life. Not living a clean life. Understand now? Morally, ethically being strong shows how clean the person is. Clean. Clean character. No? The clean means cleanliness, not in external cleanliness. Antashaucham, bahishaucham. In the cleanliness means this person, clean life means no cheating, no betraying, no lying. Like that. So clean. That's very committed to dharma. That makes one a cultured, civilized person, isn't it? Doesn't matter how the person looks, how the person dresses up. Of course, nicely designed, nice to have, it's always nice to dress up nicely and all those things. But just mere external appearance, how you present yourself, doesn't make you really a cultured person. You can present yourself nicely, this welcoming thing, but no. Whether you live like dharma, that there lies the real culture. That is why it is very important to be exposed to Vedanta. Yenga sutnalo, adada kutu adikana karyatla kanna irkanamna. Wherever you go, whatever you do, at last, no, you have to come to Vedanta. That's the only solution. That is why Shankara says, bhaja Govindam, Govindam, bhaja Mudhamate, Samprate, Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati, ಕರ್ಣೆ. ಹೇ ಮೂಢಮತೆ, ಗೋವಿಂದಂ ಭಜ. ಗೋವಿಂದಂ ಭಜ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಮೇ ಯು ನೋ ದ ಟ್ರೂತ್, ಮೇ ಯು ನೋ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಮೇ ಯು ನೋ ದ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಈಸ್ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಟ್ರೂತ್, ದ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್. Knowing the truth of the universe is knowing who the Lord is. They are not different, isn't it? So knowledge of the self is equal to knowledge of the truth of the universe. Knowledge of the truth of the universe is equal to knowledge of the self of all the beings. Knowledge of self of all the beings is in fact knowledge of who the Lord is. Knowledge of who the Lord is equal to knowledge of what fullness is. Knowledge of what fullness is, knowledge of what happiness is. Knowledge of what happiness is implies reveling in fullness. Understand? This is what is actually better know the truth. Why? Because the fullness, I change the word from happiness to fullness. Understand now? Nilayana mahilchi is equal to niraivu. Understand? Happiness is in fact fullness. Fullness is happiness. They are not two different words, different things at all. They are synonyms. Niraivum, nilayana mahilchiyum. Understand now? Wonder, in fact. So fullness, mujumai nirevu, fullness and happiness are synonyms. And as fullness or happiness is actually this swarupam of the truth, which is pure knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, unless and until you know what fullness is, the law, irrespective of what you have accomplished, irrespective of what you have not accomplished, there will be always inadequacy. Kuregal irundu konde irukkum. Now they will always be throughout, irrespective of how, whatever you have accomplished, whatever you have not accomplished, what you have, what you do not have, there will be sense of inadequacy. How long? As long as you do not know what fullness is. And whatever, you cannot keep quiet being inadequate, and you will always be struggling and slogging and working hard to get, understand now, to become free from sense of inadequacy. And what, how much ever you work hard also, still you continue to be inadequate person. Why? Because inadequacy, you want, there's no way of becoming free from the sense of being inadequate without having discovered what fullness is. Nerevai ariyadha varai kuregal nindru vidupada valiye illai. Understand? You once see, that's why Shastram says, doesn't matter, do the needful, do whatever you want to do, understand, without any anxiety. If you can do anything without anxiety, why? If you know that fullness is not in a result of action, fullness is not in anything external, in an object or a thing or a situation or a person's behavior. Understand? Once you know the secret, this is secret. What is the guhyam? What is the secret to reveal by the Shastram? Shastram says, I'm telling you the secret, come on. You are seeking fullness and you want everything to be different from what the way it is, because you are expecting, understand? You think things are to your expectation, you can be happy. That is why you want the things to be different from what they are. You want situation to be different from what it is. You think you can be happy, situation will be different. You think the person's behavior is different, you think you can be happy. That is why you expect the person to be different from what the person is. Understand, really speaking, your happiness is not in how others behave, how others know, not in others' behavior, not in situations, not in other people. Happiness is very surupam. You need to discover it. Once you discover the fullness, then you will not be dependent on the situations or people or anybody for your happiness. Even before discovering the happiness, if you at least accept the fact, understand this fact, accept the fact. What is the fact? Happiness is not in anything. Happiness is not in external situations. Happiness is impossible for me to discover happiness. Understand now? I'm not dependent on situations or people or behavior or for anything else for my happiness, because happiness is something to be discovered. It is my swarupam. If you know that, then you will not be dependent on situations. Then you are a detached person. You are attached to things and situations. Is it clear now? This is what Shastram is dinning into your head all the time. And therefore, when you know this, know the truth, you have discovered fullness. Once you discover fullness, and nothing can make you unhappy. However things are, you will be happy. Understand? Then you will be very happy with everything around you. If there is niraivu, then if there is fullness, you will not see anything kuraye theriyadha veliya. You will not see, no, you won't be unhappy with any situation. You'll be happy. If there is happiness and fullness discovered here, then you will not, nothing can make you unhappy. If there is no fullness here, everything will make you unhappy. You feel unhappy, upset and disappointed and then frustrated with things. It's all because of lack of knowledge of what fullness is, not lack of happiness. Happiness is that. So lack of knowledge of what happiness is what? As good as not having happiness. So not having happiness implies make you feel upset with everything. Then you are dependent on so many things for happiness. That is when you are really become frustrated. The better what Shankara says, Govindam Bhaja. Nahi nahi rakshati. Other than knowledge of the truth, knowledge of the self, nothing can protect in terms of, understand now, being free from fear, free from unhappiness and problems. So where were we last class?
Kame janani kome tatah. Kame janani kome tatah.
Iti paribhavaya sarvamasaram.
इति परिभावय सर्वमसारम् सर्वमसारम् विश्वं त्यक्त्वा विश्वं त्यक्त्वा स्वप्नविचारम् विश्वं त्यक्त्वा स्वप्नविचारम् विश्वं त्यक्त्वा स्वप्नविचारम्
ओके नौ ही सेयिंग् सिंपली इट्स सेयिंग् लुक एट दिस I am so and so, you are so and so, this is my mother, this is my father. Now, all these things are, we are talking, that's fine. This is true. But this is my mother, this is my father, I am so and so, you are this, so and so. These sorts of relation, discussions about individuals. Now, it's true how relatively real. This is my father, this is my mother, okay, I am so and so, etc. When you reveal identity, this is relatively real. But if you really think, kastvam, who are you? Who are you? Kaha aham, koham, who I am. Who am I? Who I am? Who you are? Understand now. Who you are? Who I am? Kastvam koham. No. Kuta ayataha. Where have I come from? Where have you come from? What is our origin? Where have I come from? Where have you come from? Understand? So, kastvam koham kuta ayataha. Ka me janani. Who is my mother? Me janani ka. Who is my mother? Yodhi amma yaar. Okay. Ko me tataha. Kaha me tataha means not Tamil tata. Tataha Sanskrita means father. Okay. And there is a problem here. In Tamil, tataha means grandfather. So, here in Tamil... Here, father actually. So, ko me tata, who is my, kaha me tata, me pita, okay, who is my father, who is my mother, who I am, okay, who you are, I'm going to ask you a question, okay, who I am, who you are, who my mother is, who my father is, okay, ka me janani, ko me tata, now, iti paribhavaya, please think about it very well. Analyze this very carefully. Paribhavaya. Carefully analyze and see. Where have I come from? Where have you come from? Can you say I have come from my parents' body? Then you have to answer, where have they come from? Understand, okay? Any mother, any father, they are only instrumental for the son or daughter to be born. Understand? They are not the causes. Father and mother are only causes. Instrumental. Nimittam, isn't it? Instrumental means what? That any child is born through the mother. Not of the mother. Born of the mother means, it is, we can say, clay pot is made of clay. Understand now? Not like that. Child is born through the mother, not of the mother. That is why, understand, you are only instrumental. Every child is born with one's own prarabdha. It is your prarabdha to have somebody as your son or daughter. It is their prarabdha that to have you as a mother or father. There's a prarabdham brings people together to exhaust our past punya papas. Understand? So just exhaust the punya papa, we are brought together. And once prarabdha is exhausted, we will be separated again. Like what? Like when it rains heavily in rainy seasons and lot of water will be flowing everywhere, there will be floods and floods will just go and join the big rivers, and when they join the rivers and nearby from the trees, woods from the nearby rivers, actually the logs of woods will be flowing in the water, and what happens? And many big logs of woods, they sometimes, some waves, big waves, bring them all together, they'll be together for some time. Okay? One time. Again, another big wave will come and all this big logs of woods will be separated. Like that, it is all these relationships. If you say, mother, father, son, daughter, sisters, family members, we all come together like... Relationship starts when? One point of time. Understand now? One time. At one time, a given period of time, we all come together. And we live together for a length of time. Again, when you are... Understand now? One point of time, we all get separated. You come alone, go back alone. In between going back alone and coming alone, you have some meeting with people, some association with people, contact with people. This is the truth. Therefore, you are kome tataha. Who is your father? Who is your mother? The mother or father are so what? Two different individuals. Understand now? Two different physical bodies. Mother is, understand now, physical bodies, born of her parents, born through her parents and born through his parents. And you are born of these, understand now, these parents. What is physical body? We all studied in Tattvabodha class, remember? This physical body is nothing but you are not just the physical body. You are not just the physical body. And this physical body is what? Nothing but modified form of the food eaten by parents. Understand now? The parental food alone became what? Modified sperm and ovum of mother and father are nothing but modified form of the food essence. Essence of the food eaten by the parents. And grew up in mother's womb eating food, enjoying food, mother's food. Again, being born, what is it? Sustained by the same food. Grows big and then, understand now, it grows in a big form, again what, enjoying food, sustained by food. And one fine day, the sukshma will depart, it falls apart, and what, it gets disintegrated, becomes again food, manure for other beings. It becomes manure for other plants. Food. Understand, annat jayate, annena vardhate, annena jivati, anne liyate. It becomes food, born of food, sustained by food, again becomes one with food. Understand now, minerals means what? Becomes manure for other plants, food for other plants. Understand, thereby it becomes food for other animals also. This is what is physical body, whether you like it or not, this is the fact about the physical body. Are you just the physical body? Can you say, my mother created me, my father created me? Nobody has created you. Understand now? Nobody creates anything here. Therefore, kome tataha, kome janani. Who's your mother? Who's your father? Yeah, please think and see. Understand now? There are, of course, there's mother's father. But really speaking, there's some point there, okay? And who are you? Who I am? Have ever thought like this? Paribhavayavi. Please paribhavaya. All these bodies are one day going. Just this physical body alone makes the father. Physical body alone makes the mother. Physical body alone makes you. yourself alone makes me? No, we are not these bodies alone, understand? Really speaking, what is the truth of all these different bodies? The mother body, father body, your body, my body, understand now? For all this, what is the truth? That truth is one, indivisible one. Truth is one, isn't it? Truth of all these bodies playing different, you know, relationships, playing different roles and different relatives related to each other. Relative existences, you know, relatively existing these bodies, and the truth is different. So, kome janani, kome tataha, kame janani, kastum, koham, kutaha ayataha, where have we come from? Have we just come, if you think only you are a body, then you can say, I am born of this, born through these parents. You are not just the, understand now, you are not just the body. It means, where have you come from? Iti paribhavaya, please think about it. If you don't think at all, Shankara says, you don't think at all. If you start thinking, then we will realize all these are mithya. Understand now? We are not just the bodies. It is very sad thing to know. Father's body or mother's body or your body or my body, all these bodies one day will what? Fall apart. Understand now? Please think about it. Paribhavaya. He says, this Vishwam, no? Asaram. Vishwam Asaram. Asaram means, this Vishwam is Mithya. It is not essentially, no? It doesn't have any substantiality. This universe does not have any substantiality. Understand now what I'm saying? This universe means, all the physical forms, the gross universe you are seeing, this physical body or any other physical body, all the gross universe you are perceiving, objectifying, this physical world is what? This Vishwam, this universe is, Asara means, it does not have any substantiality at all. Because that means what? Asara means, it has no saram. It has no, understand now, it is not essentially real. Because it is, why? Because what is it which really has substantiality? If you said the universe does not have any substantiality, what is that which has substantiality? Understand? Actually, better know the truth which is there as the self, available for understanding as the meaning of the word I. Understand now? The Parambarul alone has substantiality. The reality alone has substantiality. The universe, the manifest universe is mithya. The reality alone is satyam. Satyam alone has substantiality. But what we do, we mistake the non-substantial universe for, understand now, absolute substance, a substantial thing, and thereby we suffer. Understand now? We do not know this. We mistake the universe, the non-substantial universe, for the substance of, because for a thing of substantiality. Isn't it? That is the problem. Therefore, please understand this. What is satyam? What is mithya? Vishwam asaram, vishwam tyaktva. Listen, please think about it and don't mistake the universe for absolutely real. It is not absolutely real. Universe is relatively real but not absolutely real. Understand this. And he says, Vishwam tyaktva, what is the next sentence? Swapna vicharam. And why? Because this universe is, now this life in this universe is like a dream. This universe is mithya, and life in this universe all is what now? Like a dream. Really speaking, now this universe is, look, universe seems to be absolutely real for you. Understand? You mistake this for, you think the universe has substantiality. Really speaking, it doesn't have, no? Enjoy any substantiality. Why? Because in the wake of knowledge of the truth, you will realize Just as, you know, when you wake up from sleep, you understand the dream being dream, not real. Dream being mithya, isn't it? Dream, you can't say dream was not there at all. You can't say dream is real, but you understand the dream being not real, for which you have to wake up from sleep. Until and unless you wake up from dream sleep, the dream is very much real for you. Once you wake up from sleep, you will understand dream being not real. Isn't it? Dream being dream. Similarly here also, as long as you remain ignorant of the truth, who Govinda is, as long as you do not understand what the reality is, no, you mistake all these relationships, you, me, no, all these dualities, these pluralities, these multiplicities, these diversities, these differences as real. You think all these differences are real. Really speaking, these are not absolutely real. They are relatively only real. You mistake the relative reality for absolute reality. Isn't it? They are relatively real, but not empirically they are real, but not absolutely. It is typically like what? When you can stand on the seashore and count the number of waves. When there are many waves, who can deny the manyness of the waves? Multiplicity of the waves. Who can deny? There are so many waves, innumerably countless waves. Understand, so many waves are there. And different waves are each are different from every other wave. Those differences are very much real when you see. But if you really analyze and if you see carefully, you can say this plurality, this diversity, these differences on the part of wave, etc., actually speaking, empirically, relatively real, but absolutely not real. Absolutely, there's no difference. Okay, there is no countability. What is there is only satyam, isn't it? Absolutely not real. So, similarly here, this vishwam asaram, this whole universe, these differences as you, me, my mother, my father, these different forms, okay, the relationships, these differences, you know, and this universe, all this is actually speaking empirically real, but not absolutely real. If we know, I don't say, you should say, what is empirically real is understood as empirically real, then there is no problem. But we mistake the empirically real thing for absolutely real thing. That is where the problem is. Understand now, empirically real can be taken as empirically real. But what we do? We mistake the empirically real thing for absolutely real. Idam vishwam paribhavaya, please think about it. Okay, all these relationships, etc., are all empirically real, not absolutely real. These differences are all empirically real, not absolutely real. This universe that we see is what now? Empirically real, not absolutely real. But how will I know this? As long it's like typically like a dream, sopna vichara, understand now? It is like a dream. As long as you are dreaming, dream is real. Once you wake up from sleep, dream being not real will be very clear. Similarly, as long as you do not know what the absolute reality is, what the truth is, as long as you do not know what the self is, as long as you remain ignorant of the self, for you this universe will be real. Once you know what the truth is, once you know what the self is, then in the wake of knowledge of the reality, you understand this universe also is what? Is as good as dream. This life is as good as dream life. That means it is not absolutely real, it is empirically real. You don't need to say the world is unreal, ulage mayam. You don't need to sing all those things, okay? Who's ulage mayam? Understand now, don't need to say all this thing. Please understand, this world is very much real. Understand, the world is real, hunger is real, pain is real, pleasure is real, or hard working is real, or slogging is real, parents and affection is real, no, attachment is real, all these things are real. Only thing is how real it is. real. We don't say it's unreal. Okay? It is not unreal. How can anybody say it's unreal? It is very much real. But is it empirically real or absolutely real? That you have to understand. The problem is, we don't want to say it is unreal. To say this unreal is foolishness. Okay? And Swami, I told many times, Swamiji says, if anybody says the world is unreal, put person to starvation for a few days. And we will know where they can. Okay? Understand? And he said that. And I don't say it's not unreal. It is very much real, but it is relatively real. If we know that, if we know what is absolutely real, then you understand what is empirically real. Understand? Then if you take the empirically real thing for empirically real thing, you will not be affected by empirically real situations. Is it clear now? That is why he says, iti paribhavaya, please think. Think well, paribhavaya, nangu yoshikunu. We don't think. Bhavaya means think. But paribhavaya, aandu sindhikunu. Listen now, please think well and then get an answer. You understand this. Therefore, better know the truth.
Is this dream unreal or empirically real?
No. See this. There's nothing unreal here. Unreal means what? You cannot come in Bhagavad Gita class. Unreal means that which does not exist at all is unreal. Understand? If I say, suppose, no, there is a rabbit's horn. Doctor has a rabbit which has a horn, and Pataj is going to make a horn, a bow out of rabbit's horn in doctor's house. If I say it is unreal, isn't it? There is no rabbit, first of all, in his house. Okay? And if at all he brought one, a rabbit from Sri Lanka or Australia, Australian rabbit, he might have brought it.
Yes.
Okay? With a passport. And then that rabbit has a horn. If I say, Swamini, you'll ask me this, understand? Where does a rabbit have a horn? And if using, he is going to make a bow out of that rabbit's horn. What is this? Understand? Another word, Puluhu Mahapuluhu.
No, I'll ask, are you sure you're talking about a rabbit or an elephant?
Now, I'm going to talk about a rabbit, okay? What is impossible? Understand now? Namula, we talk about white kaka, white crow. But I think that also we can nowadays in this country everything is painted. You may have black crow and then you color white and then it's a problem. So what I'm saying here, now what I want to say here, that which does not exist at all is unreal. That is why we do not say there's no such thing called unreal thing. இல்லாமை என்ற ஒன்று கிடையாது. Please understand, there's no such thing called non-existence. இல்லாமை என்ற ஒன்று கிடையாது. உண்மை இல்லாமை பொய்மை. Understand? What I'm saying, what is real then? That which does not exist at all is unreal means, what is real then? That which exists always. Okay? And without depending upon something else for its existence is real. We say what is real means that alone is absolutely real. That which exists always is absolutely real. Without undergoing a change is absolutely real thing. And what is empirically real or relatively real, we say that which exists only in the present. And while existing in the present, which has dependent existence is empirically real. If you say water is absolutely real thing, waves and ocean are empirically real thing. Mithya is empirically real, isn't it? Mithya enjoys empirical reality. Satyam enjoys what? Satyam is absolutely real. What is absolutely real here if you say wood is absolutely real. with reference to this small object, wood is absolutely real and this elephant here is what? Empirically, relatively real. You can't say there's no elephant at all. We do very much see the elephant. We do see the elephant here. But is it absolutely real? No. What is it here then? Relatively real. Because we do see an elephant here. But what is real here is wood. So water is empirical. Water enjoys empirical reality. Okay. Water is absolutely real. Waves and ocean are relatively or empirically real. Because waves are there. You cannot say, no, there is no wave at all. I see only water, Swamini. Can you say that? Hey, you are seeing waves and you are very much seeing waves and ocean. What are you going to say that now? But you can't say waves are absolutely real. Why? Because waves cannot exist independent of water. Waves are as though. What is that which can exist independent of waves? Water. Isn't it? So that which has independent existence is satyam. That which has dependent existence is mithya. Okay? That which does not exist at all is what? Tucham. Non-existent. Understand? Unreal. So satyam is real. Mithya is empirically real. Understand? There is no such thing called unreal. Is it clear now? This Vedanta thing. Therefore, we say dream also is what? Empirically, relatively real. Because there is experience. You can't say you did not dream at all. You can't deny your own for what you perceived. But it is not absolutely real. Because you wake up from sleep, it's not there. There was experience. Isn't it? You did experience the dream. It's not, you can't say it's unreal. You can't say it's real also because you wake up, it's not there. Then what is it now? Everything is mithya. Understand? In fact, not only dream, the so-called real life also is what? According to Shastram, is like a dream only. Understand? As long as you do not know what is absolutely real, this empirically real universe, looks as though it is real, absolutely real. Once you know what is absolutely real, then you understand the universe being empirically real. That's all. It's not a totally unreal thing. Is it clear now? You can never say anything unreal. Nothing is unreal here. Everything is real. But how real it is absolutely real, is it empirically real? If we know this empirical reality and absolute reality, now what happens is, we do not know what is absolute reality. We do not know what the absolute reality is. Therefore, what we do, we mistake the empirically real thing, empirical reality for absolute reality. That is our problem. All our problems in life are due to mistaking this empirically real universe or empirical reality for absolute reality. Understand? We don't need to say, oh, the world is unreal. What is there? No. It's very much real. Understand?
This is always a devil when they say world is unreal.
That's what I'm saying.
Today it's been a lot clearer.
Yes.
I tell you, Swamiji talks because all the English people, not many Western Indians also, Western writers, they always translate, the universe is unreal, the world is unreal. The first sentence in a philosophy book will frighten you, you have to throw away. Because it's so much real for you. Your pain is real for you, your pleasure is real for you, your anxiety is real for you, your fear is real for you, your hunger is real, your thirst is real, your attachment is real, your affection is real, your care is real, your concern is real. My God, what is not real here? How can I say it's unreal? Unreal means that which does not exist at all is unreal. Understand? In fact, I didn't want to give the example, you know, let me tell you this, what is unreal here? We always had example in Shastram. Shastram to say, hey, there's only two, okay? There is satyam, absolute reality. That is consciousness, okay? And the whole, the matter and the material manifestation is not unreal, it is empirically real. Why? Because the absolute reality is that which has independent existence. The mithya, okay, the matter and its material products have dependent existence, mithya. Satyam is absolutely real, mithya is empirically real. But where is unreal, where does the word unreal come now? Unreal is nothing unreal. Understand, we have to only understand only these two things. We do not know one thing, we miss the other thing for the other thing. That is why our problem lies there. Our unhappiness, our inadequacy, our sense of being small, all our problems are because of mistaking the empirically real thing for absolutely real thing. If we know what is absolutely real thing, then we will not overvalue, understand now, this empirically real thing as the absolutely real thing. If you don't overvalue, if you give due value, then you are free from problems. Understand? And what is unreal says, Vandhya Putraha Yati. It's nothing to do with the Jagovindam, okay? I'll give you the example. Vandhya Putraha Yati, Murga Trishnambasis Nataha, okay? Shashashringa Dharudharaha, Kapushpadhari. He says, Vandhya Putraha means son of a woman who never gave birth to a son. Barren woman. Okay? Son of a barren woman who can't give birth to a son, okay, child. Look at this. Son of a barren woman walks on the road. Yati. How does he walk? How does he go? Having bathed in mirage water. Mruga Trishnambasis Nataha. Mirage water. I don't know whether you can see mirage water in the London. You had to wait for the summer, no? You had to go to Sri Lanka to see, or Gujarat to see mirage water. Hot sun, you had to be there. On the road, you can see mirage water, isn't it? And Mruga, Sanskrit language, mirage water is called Mruga Trishnambas. Why? Because in the forest, the deer always missed. Mirga means deer. Trishna means thirst. The deer, when the deer gets thirsty, the poor deer does understand, okay? It mistakes this mirage water for real water. It runs after that water and it goes near the whole water. Again, from this distance, you'll see it from distance, another mirage. No, she'll see the mirage.
Canal
near, yeah. Canal. And it'll go after the mirage water, called mirage, okay? Mirage. And it'll go towards that mirage. Again, from there won't be water. So thirsty, again from there, it'll see again further distant, no? Further distance, it will see another mirage, it will run towards it. Keep on running, the poor deer at last die without drinking water. That is why mirage is called Mruga Trishnambas. Mruga Trishnambas. Only in summer, no? Big summers you have can see this Mruga Trishnambas. All tropical areas you can see this. And here, this is Mruga Trishnambas is Nata. This, the son of a barren woman, look at this, son of a barren woman. How can there be son for a barren woman? First, okay, Tucham. It's called Tucham, non-existent, total non-existence, unreal thing, okay? And he had his bath where? In Mruga Trishnambas, mirage water. And then, he is going, holding a bow. That bow made of rabbit's horn. Shashashringa Dhanurdharaha. Shashaka means rabbit. Shringa means horn. Dhanuhu means bow. Dhanurdharaha. Shashashringa Dhanurdharaha means holding the bow made of rabbit's horn, having bathed in mirage water, this Vandhyaputra, son of a barren woman, Kapushpadhari, okay, having the flower of, you know, space flower. Space is a flower for him. Is it possible to have the space? Okay. Space flower and he is walking. This is an example for what? unreal. Understand now? It's impossible. Therefore, please understand, this world is not something like that. The world is not unreal, isn't it? The world is very much real. Understand now? But how real it is, you have to say, how real it is. It is not absolutely real, but it is empirically, relatively real. But what we do not know, we mistake the empirically, relatively real universe for absolutely real. Thereby what happens? We have all problem, our sorrow, our unhappiness, understand, our frustrations and depressions and rejections, all our worries are due to mistaking the empirically real universe for absolutely real vastu. Understand, real thing. And this is because of our ignorance of what is absolutely real. Therefore, Krishna says, Govindam bhaja. Understand? Better know the truth. Once you know the truth, you will know what is absolutely real. Once you know what is absolutely real, you will know this universe has no substantiality. Understand? This universe is not absolutely real, it is only relatively real. Once you know this, all these differences, etc., are only empirically real if you know, then, understand now, it's only like a dream. It's a fact. It's a, whether you, I don't like this universe being empirically real means what? You are not mature, understand? I don't like this universe being empirically real. No, I want this universe to be absolutely real. We are not mature, understand now? You have to be mature. Sometimes you have to accept the fact as a fact. This universe is empirically real. We should be mature enough to accept the fact as a fact. Understand the fact, accept the fact, be mature, be happy. Understand? That is what he says here. Okay. So now what we have to say? Universe is neither real nor unreal, but it is mithya, empirically real. Satyam is only awareness, the truth, which is the self I am. Understand? What next verse? Tvayi mahi sarva traiko devah. Vishnu, okay. Tvayi mahi sarva traiko Vishnu. Tvayi mahi sarva traiko Vishnu. Tvayi mahi sarva traiko Vishnu. Vyartham kopyasi mahiya sahishnu. Vyartham kopyasi mahiya sahishnu. Sarvasminnapi. Pashyatmanam. Sarvasminnapi. Pashyatmanam. Sarvatrotsruja bhedajnanam. Sarvatrotsruja bhedajnanam. He says, generally, whenever there is anger, okay, anger is not very, we all know, oh no, very nice to be angry. Can you ever say that? Very, very nice to be angry. Can you say that? You want to say, it is not nice to be angry, isn't it? Nobody really wants to be angry, but everybody is helpless about being angry, you know, getting angry, isn't it? We're helplessly angry. We're helpless. We are helpless about becoming angry, isn't it? Because anger is not a pleasant thing. Anger causes discomfort. Anger is pain. Anger results in pain. The angry man is painful person. Understand now? The angry person is painful person. And pain alone gets converted of anger. And the angry person who's going through pain, when the anger gets expressed also, angry person definitely reacts. Okay? And that reaction results in what? Reaction results in hurting other person. Understand how? Always, anger causes damage. Expression of anger in the form of reaction causes great damage. In the sense of relationships, it spoils the relationships, it causes great amount of hurt. Understand? Then one also is, one is painful and he causes other person, makes other person more painful. Understand now? More pain to the other person. Other people also. This is anger. This all because of somewhere our inadequacy is triggered. Our smallness is triggered. You know, when you get angry, you get angry whenever you, anything which triggers your smallness, anything which triggers your helplessness, whenever you feel helpless about solving the situation, solving the problem, and overcoming an undesirable situation, whenever you feel helpless about overcoming an undesirable situation, whenever you feel helpless about, understand, about helpless, you feel helpless in overcoming, solving a problem, then your anger is triggered. Helpless situations, selflessness means being incapable of changing the situation is what? Being helpless. Being incapable of changing the situation is being helpless, and being helpless triggers anger. Being helpless makes you feel limited. Being helpless triggers your smallness, your limitations. Then that actually triggers, smallness triggers you. Whenever smallness is triggered, there is anger, jealousy. Understand? Jealousy will be there. Sometimes anger will be there. Understand? Anger. Therefore, the problem is, why there is anger? Why smallness is triggered? Why the sense of being inadequate? Understand? Why there is smallness on the part of oneself? Why there is smallness? Sirumai yen irikkirathu? Kuraigal yen irikkinna? Why there is smallness? Because there is lack of knowledge of fullness. You have to go back to the mission. Shankara repeats and repeats and repeats. Know the truth, discover fullness, be free from sense of inadequacy. That's the only way. Again and again and again and again, one thing is repeated. What is that? Know the truth, know the self, know the truth, discover fullness, free yourself from the sense of inadequacy, thereby free yourself from all the problems. Adha uttite, understand, whatever you do, whatever is, it's very otherwise. Otherwise, what will happen? You can't help being victimized by situations, in given situations wherein your smallness is triggered, your helplessness is, okay? You feel helpless in situations, your smallness will be triggered, then naturally, whenever smallness is triggered, you get angry. Is it clear now? Therefore he says, Hey, vyartham kupyasi, mai asahishnuhu. Mai, in me, ennidutthila, asahishnuhu. Because you don't, you're not able to tolerate the intolerance. Asahishnuhu means the one who is intolerant, the one who cannot stand one who cannot stand, okay, one who cannot accept, one who cannot be, one who cannot endure, is what the unenduring, and it's now intolerant, but it's called asahishnuhu. You cannot understand situations, you can't stand, and asahishnuhu mayik vyartham kupyasi. You unnecessarily, you get angry. Listen now, you're angry with me. Just, Rishi, the teacher is saying here, okay, he's talking to someone of his students or somebody like that, okay? You get angry. Asahishnuhu, as an intolerant person, no? As a person who cannot stand the situations, the unhappy, okay, situations which are not, wherein you can't change situations, what you do? Kupyasi, you get angry. Vyartham kupyasi. By getting angry, what are you going to achieve? See, getting angry or expression of anger, if you can really achieve something by being angry, by expressing your anger, understand now, by reacting as expression of anger, okay, by reaction also, if you can achieve something positively, that is worth getting angry, isn't it? But really speaking, you are not going to achieve anything. Therefore, vyartham. Vyartham means what? Waste. You're unnecessarily, in vain, you get angry as an intolerant, okay, person. Why? Because you do not know the reason for your anger is not me. He just talking, okay? The teacher, somebody is talking to another person. The reason for anger is not me. The reason for anger is not my behavior. The reason for anger is not the situation. The reason for anger is not even the something which I did. The reason for anger, what I did, my behavior, is only nimittam, instrumental for you to which triggered your anger. Really speaking, your anger has been triggered by your feeling of, okay, helplessness. What is helplessness? Your own feeling of helplessness has triggered your anger. And the feeling of helplessness is what? You are being incapable of changing the situations wherein you feel limited. Isn't it? You feel very limited. Therefore, you're angry. But your anger is not going to change the situations. Being angry, getting angry, will not change the situations. See, there's a situation which is not desirable to you. You want to change the situation, and you're not able to change the situation, so you get angry. Getting angry, do you think that you can change the situation? No. Getting angry will not help you to change situations. You're not being able to change situations resulted in what? Anger. Please understand, your anger is vain. Why? You're vain. In vain, you're angry with me. Your anger is not going to change the situations. The anger itself is due to what? Your anger has been triggered by your own feeling of helplessness in terms of changing the situations. He says, you don't need to change the situation at all. How can you avoid this anger? You don't need to change the situation at all. Without change situation, you can be happy. You want the situation to be different because you think you can be happy. The situation is different. Why do you try to change situation? Because you want to be happy. That is the problem. See, you think you're unhappy and you want to change situation. By change situation, you think you can be happy. When you are not able to change the situation, your smallness is triggered, your helplessness is triggered, understand now. Thereby what now? You are angry. And you express your angry, understand, which is also not going to change the situation. Instead, what you should do? Better know the truth. Know the truth, know the self, know the truth, know who Bhagavan is, know what fullness is. Then what happiness is, you will not be dependent on situations for happiness. Then you don't need to change the situations. When you don't need to change situations, nothing can trigger your smallness. In fact, there will not be smallness. Fullness and smallness cannot coexist. Understand? How darkness and light cannot coexist. Why? Because they are of viruddha dharma. They are of different attributes. Isn't it? They are opposed to each other. So two things of attributes opposed to each other, they cannot coexist. Light and darkness cannot exist together. Isn't it? I can't say tall, short, thin, fat. Shiva Shakti was coming. If I say, you'll laugh at me. What is this? How can she be? You can say short, tall and thin, you can say. Short and fat, you can say. Tall and fat also you can say. But you can't say thin, fat. Shiva Shakti came, you can't say. Why? Because they're opposed to. Understand now, fatness and thinness are opposed to each other. Understand? Similarly, what happens now? Smallness and fullness cannot coexist. Where there is fullness, there cannot be smallness. Where there is smallness, there is no fullness. Isn't it? So here Shastram says, if you discover know the truth is, you have discovered what fullness is. If there is fullness, you have resolved this smallness. Once smallness is resolved, smallness is not there to be triggered, first of all. Once fullness is there, you are not dependent on situations for happiness. Then you don't need to change situations for your happiness. Therefore, there's no reason for you to get angry. Angry also would have been resolved. Is it clear now? This is the thing. So here, that's why he says, once you know the truth, then what will happen now? Vyartham kupyasi maya sahishnuhu. Kunjangoda enna purunjika enna porutukkama. Purumiye illam engitta koopadriye. That's what he is asking. Vyartham kupyasi mayi. Engitta koopadra. Understand? Sometimes women ask husband, men get so angry. You could not manage in your office. You come and show all the thing to me, okay? The man comes home and shouts at the wife. You know, the one day person, like a big mountain, like a strong, unshakable person. Any amount of anger you can show on one person, wife, Indian wife, okay? She will not walk out of the house. She will not walk out of the house. She knows. Come on, tomorrow divorce. No, nothing doing. Sit quietly. She knows. Why? Because that's why he can come back and show. She loves. So slowly she'll say. She gets angry also. No, she gets. Yes. She won't say loudly. No, she gets softly. Mm-hmm. Yes, this man could mind the whole office people. All the anger he comes and shows at me. Okay, he shows. He's angry with me. What do you say? Again, it gets more angry. Again, she points out his incapacity to manage his office people. Again, smallness is triggered. Yes, and then sometimes they won't slap actually. They just hide. Okay? And this is why? Because that is why the for a fraction of a second, wife and children, there's no love. Okay? There's no love. Whoever you want to make other person get angry. So you have to trigger this smallness. When you get angry? Kuraya avangudadhu. Because all a fundamental problem. I am small is a notion which is already there. It is a fundamental problem. Understand now? This smallness is triggered somewhere. You always notice. Somewhere something, you are the fundamental problem of the being, sense of being small, that smallness is triggered and somewhere you get angry. Kayyal ahadavan, okay? You are not capable of doing something. If you say somebody, I tell you, they'll be very angry. Because nobody can, already it really touches the core problem. Understand now? Otherwise, that's why they get angry. It's impossible for one to, especially, you know, especially Indian men, they can't stand this. Even the other men can't stand it. You know what, Adiji? Even here, nobody can say this. Because always, this is what, you know what I'm saying. Generally, you are very careful, no, with men. But women also nowadays, okay. What I'm saying is different thing. You know, this particular thing, especially it's very male, the thing is, basically smallness. It's a fundamental problem. It's because of ignorance. Understand? That is why any anger, whatever is the cause for the anger, if you analyze, you know, that the root cause of the anger is what actually, okay, the triggering of, understand now, the sense of being small. This smallness, sense of smallness centered on I. Understand now? Therefore, is all as if unless you discover what fullness is, there's no way of being free from sense of being small. There's no, if you don't free yourself from sense of being small, the smallness, the problem of smallness being centered on I, there'll always be. Now, these situations cannot be changed. And you always should try to change situations for your happiness. And you cannot change situations also, because situations are ordained by the natural law. It's like swimming against the current. You always utter failure. The more failure you are, and the more angry you will be. Therefore, he says, Vyartham kuppis, you are getting angry in vain. Understand? In fact, there's no need, because you can't achieve anything by that. Therefore, understand, better know the self, know the truth, discover fullness, resolve this problem of smallness being centered on I, thereby then you don't need to change situations for your happiness. Understand? You will, no situation, every situation will be acceptable for you if you are reveling in fullness. Then you won't be angry. When, then what will happen? Then, no, mayi, tvayi, sarvatra, ekaha, Vishnu. You will see in you, in me, in everything, everywhere, you will see the truth being one, all-pervasive, only truth. Understand now? Once you know what you are, you will see, what now? In you, mayi, in me, tvayi, in you, sarvatra, in everything, in all the beings, you will see the truth being all-pervasive and, understand, non-dual. You will understand the truth being irandavadu ondru atra anaithiyum vyapithirikkindra parampurulai nee arivai. Understand now? Once you know, what you will understand that truth is non-dual, only reality. Okay? Reality is what? Non-dual, only reality, which is all-pervasive. Vishnuhu means what? All-pervasive. Vishnuhu, why you call reality is known with the word Vishnuhu? Because that which pervades everything is Vishnuhu. All pervasive. Sarvam vyapnoti iti Vishnuhu. Mayi, tvayi, ennadatala, unnadatala. Mayi, tvayi, sarvatra. Understand? In me, in you, in everything, everywhere, you will see the reality being non-dual. Vishnuhu, all pervasive reality. Then in recognizing that oneness of reality, non-duality of the reality, which pervades you, me, everything here, then you will see what? You know, you will be reveling in fullness, then you won't be triggered by smallness centered on I, then you won't be angry, all these things will be resolved for good. What is the next third line, Kana?
Sarvasminnapi
pasya atmanam. Once you know the self, you can see the self in everything. Sarvasmin ovvandilum ellavattilum atmanam pasya. See the self, which you know as yourself, as the meaning of the word I in everything. Sarvasmin api atmanam pashya. Once you, hey, Krishna is saying, Bhagavan is saying here, know the truth, know yourself. Understand now? Know the truth, discover fullness, resolve the smallness, then you get rid of anger. Understand now? That's the only way you can get rid of anger. There's no way of getting rid of anger. There's no, you can, until you get rid of the anger, you can manage the anger. But you can't undo the anger. Please understand, you can never undo your anger. You can manage the anger initially, slowly, you can get rid of anger, you can resolve the anger for good. How? By freeing yourself from this problem of smallness and down. I, by discovering fullness, by knowing the truth, by knowing yourself. Once you know the self, you understand that self is what? Vishnu. All pervasive only reality, the truth which you discovered as the meaning of the word I is the only reality which pervades everything, you, me and everything. And not only that, you will see yourself as the self of all the beings. Understand? If you know the H2O being the truth of one wave, you don't need to know the truth of every wave being H2O. Knowing the truth of one wave is as good as knowing the truth of all other waves. Similarly, once you know the meaning of the word I, you know the self of all the beings, being one and the only, same, one indivisible, partless whole, the consciousness. Understand? Then, therefore, sarvatra utsruja bheda ajnanam. It is this bheda ajnanam, all these differences are what? Due to ajnanam. Bhedaha means difference. And the differences are caused by the ignorance of the truth, isn't it? If as long as there is ignorance of truth, reality, the self, there will be what? There will be differences. Therefore, please know the truth, see the self in everything, and you know, get rid of this what? Ignorance which causes differences. Is it clear now? Om. You want to read this verse?
Swayimayi sarva traiko Vishnu. Swayimayi sarva traiko Vishnu. Vyartham kupyasi maya sahishnu. Vyartham kupyasi maya sahishnu. Sarvasminnapi pashyatmanam. Sarvasminnapi pashyatmanam. Sarvatro sruja bhedajnanam. Sarvatro sruja bhedajnanam.
There
are
32
verses, isn't it? No, 31. Yeah, I have got different.
Ah,
yes.
You can take a
short
cut. What's that?
No, I waste some time initially. Actually speaking, verses are over by Shankaracharya. By other teacher, other acharyas who came later and they joined. It's still nice to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes us think a lot.
So it is
see, here, see, one beauty about Vedanta is, nobody is condemned. If you get angry, if you have desires, if you have any problem is acceptable in Vedanta. Understand? Nobody condemns you for anything. Don't do that, don't get angry, don't be distressed, don't have this, doesn't say. It is natural for you to have any emotional problem. There are problems, understand, all mental problems. Head has headache, understand? Body has ache, pain. Similarly, mind has all these problems. And this needs proper medication. What is the aushadham? Bheshajam? You need jnanam. Jnanam is the medicine to cure this disease. Understand? Don't feel bad about it. Natural for anyone to have all these problems. I don't feel having... Do you feel bad about having headache? We don't want to have headache, it's not desirable. But we don't feel bad. I don't feel. No, I don't have headache. I have headache, but I still don't have headache. Because again, I feel shy to tell that I have headache. Why not? Yes, I do have headache. And I can seek help also. Give me some cup of hot water. I can ask for it. That is intelligent way of living, isn't it? Then you can always tell. That's why there are people who will treat you non-judgmentally. You go to doctors. No, you don't tell other people that you have headache. No? Go to doctors and tell them, I have headache. This is medicines. The doctor's job is to look after you. Okay, that's why he committed to become a doctor. To cure the, you know, to help patients who suffer diseases and problems. Similarly, there are teachers, Shastra teachers are that's why. Understand, to help you to get out of this problem for good. You don't need to, they're non-judgmental. No, is any doctor judgmental about the patient who goes to the doctor? Oh, this patient has a lot of headache. Does he talk to other patient about another patient? No, that's not a healthy doctor. Doctor, he's sick then. Not a healthy doctor. Understand? The doctor should be confidential, non-judgmental. Not necessary. Why should any doctor talk about other patient? Not necessary. At the same time, 100% the doctor must be committed, do his duty in helping the person's need of the problem. That is the doctor. It must be a doctor. I say Vaidyaha means very respectable. Not this nowadays, okay? Similarly, the Shastra teacher. Any sannyasi. Shastra teacher. Playing role of teacher actually. Not Shastram. In fact, Shastram helps you. This is Shastram. Go to Shastram. Read Shastram. Understand Shastram. And Shastram does not condemn. Does not blame you. Does not find fault with you. Does not criticize you. No, accepts you. You can feel the warmth in the Shastram. Affection in the Shastram. The care for in the Shastram. Understand? The concern for you in the Shastram. And 100% genuine interest in your well-being. Just bow to Shastram. See what Shastram says. Follow what Shastram says. You will be relieved. Isn't it? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.